Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dragon's Lair, and that song was Dragon Attack by Queen. And I figure since Dana can play Judas Priest, well then I should be able to play whatever I want, which I want to play whatever I want anyway, whether it be Queen or Elton John or any other good music. That's the whole point. It's good music. So anyway, tonight's topic is the continuation of the last show that I did. Called David Dukewitz, and that Bolshevik Tom Metzger, as frequently noted by Dr. Pierce. Jew lackeys in the racialist, nationalist, and national socialist movements. The 30-year war against the NSM and the conspiracy of June 30th, 2006. Afterwards, I'm also going to do a piece, after I finish that topic, rather, I'm going to do a piece on the Texas flag, since a couple of assholes decided to mock it. Of course, there was a bigger agenda, and I'll get into that one on my next show. And also, the source of Don't Mess with Texas. Where did that come from? What is that all about? And how did it get to be all twisted? So, anyway, it started out with a campaign against litter on Texas highways. So, anyway. Now, again, this show and the part one to this one is a prerequisite for my next show that I do, which I don't know if it'll be definitely the next show that I do, but it will be for a prerequisite for the response reply show to Renegade, or also known as the Bill Rice Network. And that is spelled R-I-C-E, not R-H-Y-E-S, as he would have you believe. And contrary to what he claims, Lou did not give me his telephone number. All right, and again, the reason for doing these two shows will be made very clear on that show. Now, I've gone back to my old headset, but I'm still using my older computer. I'm kind of just experimenting a little bit. I'm not happy with the quality of the sound. I don't know so much that it is the headset as it is the computer, perhaps. But I do know one thing, that last headset, I was not happy with the quality of the frequency response. There were no highs to it whatsoever. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be putting a new sound card in both of my computers, and probably will replace the network cards as well. So anyway, at some point, I don't know which show it will be, hopefully the sound will get better. And I will probably, once I do that, switch to a headset microphone that plugs in directly to the sound card instead of USB, which is what these headsets are. And hopefully I should be able to at least have more control over the volume. I have the volume turned up as high as I can go in Skype, but shows still come out very low volume. And I'm not happy with that at all, especially being an audiophile. But I probably should have done it a long time ago, but there are many issues as to why I have not done it. At some point, I will certainly insert an analog mixing board, and that way I don't have to always deal specifically with computer audio files. I can could actually play a CD or a tape if I choose to, or even a videotape, which videotapes have very high quality audio recording to them. Anyway, I find it interesting, my last show I did on this topic, even though I had it set for private, to where only if you had the URL to the show, you would see it. In other words, if you went to my Blog Talk Radio show page, it would not have been listed. However, there were 10 listeners. Apparently, they felt it was that important to hear the show when it happened. And at least one of the listeners was using a Renegade account to listen. So what it's real easy to do, you just take a URL of another show and change the date on it and hope you have a lucky hit. And they got a lucky hit. So anyway, for the record, today is October 10th, 2013 on our screwed up Christian calendar. The sun is at 17 degrees Libra. Again, I have no website or blog. I wouldn't have a life if I did. If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at magus_18@geocities.com. And that is magus_18@geocities.com. If you want to be on my e-list, just send me an email saying subscribe. or you can just write me. I can't guarantee I can answer all of my emails, but I will read them. No calls, as usual. Dog is in the other room. Cat's on the back of the chair. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play a song now. And when I get done, I'll pick up on that article from the last show where I left off. So we'll be right back in just a second.
Heard from a friend you've been messing around with a cute little thing I've been dating uptown. Well, I don't know if I like that idea much. Well, you better stay clear. I might start acting rough. You out of town guys, you're think you're real keen. Think all of us boys here are homespun and green. But that's wrong, my friend. So get this through your head. We're tough and we're Texan with necks good and red. So it's ki-yi-yi-yi-yi. You long hairs, you're gonna die.
Okay, I'm back, and I'm going to go ahead and get into that article here, and I'm going to pick up roughly where I left off. Won't be the exact spot that I left off, but pretty close. I just wanted to kind of all make a little sense. And this was after he had said, referring to Clifford Harrington, that he had not profited from any of his political activism. And he said, in any form, that being said, let the chips fall where they may. Number one, the NSM has been on a roll, presumably it still is, but in a lower profile. But significant manner for now, This always poses a threat to the establishment, and it is always the Jewish two-party diktat on the lookout for the for these renegades. History shows it. The events of April 2006 and June 30th, 2006 were preceded by an unheard attack on NSM members who openly challenged all in attendance at the Nordic Fest to activism. Their answer was an unprovoked attack on Comrade Boswell of Missouri, who shall be remembered by me forever as a loyal Aryan of tremendous courage by erstwhile white patriots. Social Vinlanders who claimed they were insulted by those remarks, which smacked them of indicting them for non-activity on the streets. And it sounds like I'm going to have to do something with this dog who's being a pain in the ass. He hears me talking and he thinks he has to be in here because he's missing something. So I may have to play another song and then come right back. Let me get to a stopping point and I will. Social Vinlanders who claimed they were insulted by those remarks, who smacked to them of indicting them for non-activity on the streets, which in fact they, the social clubs, were and or are guilty of. And that's pretty much where I left off. For how can one create an army for the time of need when one is not recruiting those of stalwart and strong heart by actively opposing the enemies of one's peoples as a beacon for the rest of the citizenry to admire and follow their example? Ergo attacks through the safe haven of the internet armchair warriors was initiated on significant leaders of the NSM and then indirectly on our families. These attacks followed the same routine as always and always on those who were in fact being effective. These attacks stem from one, a religious source otherwise known as CI or Christian Identity, headed by the son of a known Jewish rabbi in Chicago who was and is feeding monies to otherwise broke Christian Identity independents. Chagrined by the work of, yes, and I make no apologies, my wife, being High Priestess Maxine Dietrich, in her organization, and which is her right as a white American citizen, to propound and puts the onus on the target, as it always should be, the Jews. I myself have never been religious, albeit I recognize the need for a good moral standard by which a peoples must function. And I might add, are we to presume that our people did not know right or wrong or have a moral code before the advent of the international Jewish religious octopus, which claims that their God gave them the world? I think not. But when it came to preservation of our peoples, our pagan forefathers, they stood well against the physical attacks, but had to be seduced by an erstwhile appealing do-gooder form of moral demoralization and weakness. We retorted in kind, but would not be enticed into defending ourselves or our families by exposing them to the internet attacks, let alone possibly physical attacks, by being provoked into posting their pictures or identities to prove their Aryanness. We aren't stupid. Number three, the April meeting came and went, and it was a great success. The NSM was on a roll, and presumably still is. The Lansing rally was a resounding success, so much so that the commander was overwhelmed. The attacks escalated as a result, and the NSM was featured around the world. One item of particular note was the Hebraic subtitled and handsomely done post of video, which showed significant individuals of note and pertinent parts of their speeches, and who subsequently came under horrendous attacks. This alone showed me who were the party stalwarts that were felt to be a threat to the Jewish two-party diktat. Okay, let me go ahead and pause right at the moment here. And I will, I got to let this dog outside. So I'm going to find a song here that will hopefully cover enough time for me to get him out and get back to the computer. Let's see here what I've got. that I was hoping maybe I could go ahead and play one of the songs I was wanting to go ahead and get scheduled to play anyway. But let's see if it's going to be long enough. Okay. I think this one should be long enough. Yeah. Okay. This alone showed me who were the party stalwarts that were felt to be a threat to the Jewish two-party diktat. The attacks continued, and personal attacks in particular against myself and Mrs. Harrington reached heights to which I have grown to expect, but not physically. These continued with an internal campaign directed by several individuals. However, several individuals whom I have had dealings with over the past decade and showed their colors were in attendance, at Lansing and were just as easily not identified on this piece of prima propaganda whose intent, in fact, was to heighten the Jewish sense of threat and solidify their ranks in face of it. Not since 1974 had so many openly uniformed and non-uniformed national socialists and national patriots gathered to show their opposition to the establishment diktat. Of these individuals, namely Hal Turner Turnstile, who was in attendance, who has expressed his abhorrence of national socialism, let alone the honorable and great symbol of our Volk, the swastika, for many years, and professes a sanctimonious form of Christian identity hypocrisy, but who is one of the most avaricious, egotistical, dishonorable, and lying individuals I have ever known, and was allowed to speak, of course. This was because of an ongoing deal to air NSM material via his radio station, Shades of White Power publication, Conspiracy Against the NSM, in 1978, NS Congress Conspiracy, see below. Okay, so anyway, that was in parentheses. An ongoing deal to air NSM materials via his radio station, for which payment was deferred, conditionally, of course. And we all know Hal Turner is now in jail. He was a total fraud. His acrimony to me, at least part of it, besides being a Nazi, was because I dared have his portion of the speeches censored due to the nature of it potentially being used by the feds against the NSM, which I might add was indeed provocative in context. As it is, he is a personal associate of Bill White, or William Wise, W-E-I-S-Z, of Norfolk, Virginia, a Habling of Jewish extraction, an erstwhile self-made millionaire through profiting on lower-income whites and frequent evictions of individuals, many not for want of cause, however, but nonetheless a close associate, and in constant touch as both were utilizing each other's facilities. A gaggle of more opportunistic individuals forming could never be found. And Colonel Tim Bishop, known as Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, little Jewish-run pseudo of Jews, or O-R-G, as he's got some comments in here that I've got to make sense of here, as Bischoffs, B-I-S-C-H-O-F-F-S-S, in his email group. Okay, hopefully that made sense. Who is also a close associate of Johnny the Rebel, Lee Clary, erstwhile Judaic Christian evangelist, who makes no bones about his drunken womanizing escapades and being treated so well in his forwarding of the Jewish international imperialism, and thinks he can ostensibly smooth his controllers. More on him later. Another individual who has maintained a presence through collectibles and memorabilia, Gerhard Lauck, L-A-U-C-K, of Nebraska, was involved in an attempted takeover of the NSM in 1979 when George P. Dietz, M-D-I-E-T-Z, or Matt Cole of the old NSWPP, now the New Order since 1979, catchy name, huh, chaired by Gerhard Lauck, tried to back the NSM. And Mr. Robert F. Brannon, then chairman NSM and co-founder with yours truly, Clifford Harrington, in a corner with the same form of financial UOS blackmail, to name just one form it took. At any rate, Mr. Tim Bishop has maintained a close relationship with both Hal Turner Turnstile and Gerhard Lauck, and of course, Mr. Bill Wise of recent note. Again, I'm reading from an email. This is all choppy, and it's got all these greater than symbols in them. Let me light this cigarette. This internal campaign was directed by an individual from Spokane, Washington, who, surprise, surprise, years ago tried to join the NSM in the 80s. But I refused his application because of his obvious Jewish features. He subsequently became the so-called chief of staff of Mr. Bill Wise, or Bill White, rather. Surprise, surprise. Number four, unbeknownst to myself, another campaign was underway, headed up by this same individual from Spokane as the spokesperson for the above clique. Number five, the 30th of June came, the attempted murder by bomb of myself and Mrs. Harrington, the leader of a competitor religious viewpoint, for all practical purposes, and the gnat in the Jew's ointment of our ancient forefathers' ancient pagan beliefs, irregardless of the slanders and pygmy minds' preconceived perceptions, which was and still is bringing hundreds of Aryan Volk to the message of National Socialism through the use of the truth, and which the Jews cannot stand through their little Jewish-run independent Christian Identity Religious Council out of Chicago. This was preceded by weeks of attempted car wrecks, sideswiping, and pacing of ourselves as we were both, and sometimes not in the car together, but when my children were in the car as well. Three crashes in which the other parties attempted to or fled the scene, and witnesses told the police were at fault. Be that as it may, we went to Walmart and entered for all of 20 minutes, and upon our return to our vehicle, I saw the wires of the device, which was hurriedly placed. The bomb attempt and ensuing media attention, in fact, made several papers and was on the evening news here, and lo and behold, actually made the news in Dhaka, Bangladesh, in Inqlab newspaper, Qulab newspaper, some newspaper in Bangladesh. And I saw the video of this news report on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there or not. On that same evening, a blog on the news event was posted on the Tulsa World's website, in which the following question was made: do you believe that such events as this attempted bombing should be covered, since it involved hate groups? When over 75% of the 300-plus posts were in the positive, the link was suddenly severed and no comments were allowed. Why? Number six, following on the heels of this, the campaign internally escalated against me, and the fact of my relationship with Mrs. Harrington was brought up, and the bombing was poo-pooed by Bill White and Hal Turner Turnstile, and they attempted to turn the event into a Harrington did it thing, trying to smear my character as a media hound, which I am not, including the fact of the P.O. Box 8226, business relationship with the Joy of Satan, which we share, of course. I know the downside to this, and it was being researched. As we all know, no one household may have more than one P.O. Box. It was demanded of me that I sever that link. Well, I thought, if I do, and what I suspect happens, then how will those to whom I have a relationship contact me, I'm sorry, have a relationship contact me, I had to scroll, and my ability to defend myself and the NSM in general will be null and void. I flatly refused. It was removed from the NSM World email group as they had failed to kill me and Mrs. Harrington in this manner. I couldn't scroll, couldn't respond to the attacks myself, since their failure to kill us. It was then made known that I had been heard on a three-way conversation with the commander by none other than Colonel Timothy Bishop. To me personally, as admitting various and sundry slanders which Bill White, or Wise, had posted on his website, and other slanders which have been quoted on no other sites except the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center websites, were bits I had fed Bill Willie Wise intentionally. And I know now, and now I know, Mr. Wise, or Bill White, they came only from you. I think he's in jail for something right now. I don't know what, but not sure what the story is on that. They came only from you about myself, namely that I was a child molester and had improper relations with a 16-year-old in Minneapolis. Patently not true. But based on another incident involved two other people who were kicked out of their parents' homes for their NS beliefs and put up by myself in my home as they had no place to go. Well, that was very nice of Mr. and Mrs. Harrington. And this has since been putted around and based on nothing but Jewish hysterical imaginings to the age of 13, and for which I supposedly fled Minnesota, as I related, by Mr. Thomas, the leaderless resistance hero Metzger, and Dr. Dennis Mahan, Lieutenant to Metzger, whom I had befriended years ago, and told him the sordid attempts against myself and the commander, which he readily spewed forth in his drunken, leaderless resistance stupors, convoluted in his foggy memories as related by Bill the Jew White and Johnny the Jewish, okay, there's a parenthesis here, hold on. Sorry, folks. And the Johnny the Jewish espouser, okay, alas, a close associate of the evangelistic espouser of Jewish moral integrity and uprightness, and enslaver of Gentile minds, let alone seducer of innocence and his drunken Jewish provided luxury, and friend of both the following individuals, who was head of the White Knights of Oklahoma, and in whose position he turned in numerous skinheads who, believing they were in the presence of faithful, trusted individuals, bragged in a alcoholic, loose moment their deeds, to which Clary returned their confidence of their bravery against individual minorities by turning them into the authorities, as related by Mr. Tim Bishop. Now, there's still brackets here, so let me scroll back up and see if that makes any sense. By Bill the Jew White and Johnny the Jewish, and I think doesn't make any sense, in Lansing, and to this day on the heels of Portland, Oregon lawsuit, still shares his mailing list with the ADL and gets to keep only $1 for every $5 he gets, of course, for which he justifies as ordered by the court. However, I might add, if you believed so strongly in your leaderless resistance, then why didn't you take the rap, refuse to compromise, and go to jail for a while? You would have been a national hero. Okay. Let's see here. I got to make some sense of this here. There's more parentheses stuff. So that ended parentheses. Okay. I think I'm going to have to go way back up and try that again. Convoluted in his fogging memories as related by Bill the Jew White and Johnny the Jewish. Let me keep scrolling on down here. Let me find where I was at. Okay, I can't see how that sentence ended in any manner that made any sense. But you understood everything that was in parentheses. So this has got large spaces and spaces between pages, and this falls right in the middle of a huge paragraph and the page fell in the middle of a huge paragraph that was in parentheses. Put it that way. Okay, sometimes it's rough being in my shoes here. Anyway, let me see if I can pick up where we can make some sense. Okay. Defender, Clary, including our telephone number and residence, which I might add, of which only one other individual had in his possession, Mr. Timothy, Colonel Bishop, and the commander, but the commander can be scratched off as the source of the street address, I am sure. This, then, was followed by a demand by Mr. Turner Turnstile. Remember, he had an ongoing relationship broadcasting NSM videos and speeches, supposedly at cost but deferred, that I resign and virtually close the P.O. box. Fat chance. It was also interesting that during the period of time, our home phone was down for days and weeks and up and down, and not for lack of payment. In addition to my email and Mrs. Harrington's email boxes and address being tampered with and closed down on occasion. Now, you tell me this was not a concerted effort on the parts of the powers that be, a conspiracy. In answer to those who say, what? Follow the trail, Bill White and Hal Turner. Hal Turner, close associate of, and CAH Citizens Against Hate, and Tim Bishop, erstwhile aide to decamp to Butler, close associate of Johnny Clary, and friends of Gerhard Lalek, an associate of Timmy Collector Bischoff, and close associate of Tom Metzger and Dennis Mahan, and all of them previous and past enemies of the NSM. Incidentals to this, two non-entities, Jim Rand, sunglasses wearer at rallies, and Mike Blevins, a.k.a. M. Blevins, an attempt at Germanization. Subsequently, it was related that I had resigned, which I had not, then retreaded that I had to take a leave of absence, which I did not. Then that office of chairman would not be filled. Of course, the head of uniformed divisions cannot fire, remove, or replace the chairman, seeing as how the commander of the uniformed divisions was appointed by myself, for which I have a copy of the same situation. It's at the end. Who subsequently posted the most atrocious and disgusting attacks and imaginings about Mrs. Harrington and her religious rights and me personally, let alone attacks on my Aryan children and our address being posted on Clary's Love Thy Neighbor web hate site, as well as not that we gave a horse, patut. Otherwise known as Bischoff SS and White's little fake Jew-led ersatz NS group. There's some notes keyed back here that are kind of inserted. And this, again, this is really just mumbo-jumbo at some points. I'm trying to make the best I can of it here. Interestingly, as an offshoot of a demand by the CAH Citizens Against Hate website out of Pennsylvania or Philly to the effect, Dear Hal, you told us a long time ago you would take care of the JOS, Joy of Satan, of Mrs. Harrington that we have referred to before, and the fact Mr. Harrington and her religious groups share the same P.O. box. What are you going to do about it, Hal? I have a copy of that website post and links. I might add rhetorically, why are the Jews so interested in denying the Joy of Satan website access as they are currently trying to do in regards to white-oriented websites in Australia and have in European countries through ADL-supplied filters, likewise in our libraries, to the thousands of not just whites but non-whites, what do they really fear in a website which is awakening tens of thousands of whites every day to the National Socialist beliefs? I answer, it is the fear of the truth. Okay, let me see if I can begin this next page making some sense. I would literally have to probably spend a couple of hours to completely fix this up, but I think everybody's getting the gist of this. Okay, I'm going to try and figure this out here. Something about is head of the uniform divisions only, and we have been good friends and comrades and will remain so. I have never, ever had an issue with the commander, for we have been bulwarks to one another. But who did have an issue with us being mutual bulwarks? The PMO, or party main office, is the NSM as an umbrella group over the uniform divisions designed to accommodate individuals who, for one reason or another, cannot directly, uniformed or otherwise, participate in uniformed NS activities, but forms the bulk of the party and provides an infrastructure and support network in the general population, and is the basic non-uniform base for the NSM uniform divisions, and has many, many uses. Those of military, political, and historical experience understand you cannot have a successful organization unless you have such a system in operation. At this time, a multiple attack was made on the overall leadership of the NSM and its major activists, which continues to this day by means of all COINTEL ops, including misinformation and direct interference, breaking into homes, jimmying P.O. boxes, and the local extra-legal Jewish organizations are not above acting independently of legal status, in other words, criminally. Shades of the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center actions of the 70s, attributed to the FBI, but what do you expect when the Homeland Security and Justice Department, let alone individuals of the Jewish persuasion, hold positions of authority? Individuals of known repute and activism and loyalty were being indirectly or directly attacked by guess who? One guess only. One major attack was the threat, intimidation, and demand that the NSM records be sold to unknown parties, as it was, and evidently still is having a major impact, besides providing needed income revenue to the NSM, could maintain itself as an independent entity. And Mr. Turner Turnstile demanded my resignation and the payment of deferred charges for airing NSM programs. Since then, I have formed the NSM, or the party main office, which has been in consideration for some time under the rubric which has been used in previous years of the National Socialist Freedom Movement email group as a website attempted for such purpose, and otherwise were just as decisively removed and denied by the powers that be. Why? I tell you why. Because I cannot be bought, and am not compromised by my personal history, irregardless of Johnny the Bishop Clary's ravings. That's why. And I did not denounce Mrs. Harrington. I did not denounce Commander Shope, as they had hoped. I didn't give a damn if you worship a rock or a cockroach. It makes no never mind to me, but those of shallow mind and pygmy intellect who cannot see through the charades and pantomimes of erstwhile believers is a lost cause. Because what good is a religion if your people who created it are destroyed? What good is a constitution which your ancestors created, if your people are destroyed? Free your mind, your ass will follow. As Joseph Goebbels and Julius Streicher and Adolf Hitler stated, we are not here to perpetuate a false religious history or belief, but to create a new spiritual man for a new era free of Jewish imperialist domination, not just for ourselves, but for all nations, through racial, national self-determination. Since that date, I have observed a slow but inevitable heightening of the Jewish fear factor. There have been growing individual spontaneous and non-directed attacks in various modes. The joy of Satan is still growing as a conduit for Aryan self-consciousness, as well as awakening the latent colored races knowledge of the center point of the problem. As I have always taught my NS comrades, focus on the source, not the carbuncles, and you will win. And how the Jews use them for their own gain, divide and conquer strategies, as opposed to others whom you might guess, whose constant refrain, it's the blacks, it's the Mexicans, it's the Muslims, what a load of crap. However, we know, you know, that if we solve the Jewish problem, we can, with a healthy demographic and social and immigration policy, handle the other issues. Likewise, our compatriots in their own nations. Likewise, the Iraq escapade has shown the lie of the establishment and its reasons. The American people are now and have been in the election shown their disgust for liars and hypocrites. The Jews are frightened. Illegals are pouring into the country. The demand for withdrawal from Iraq is reaching points never thought possible just a year ago. And the ongoing insane infantile establishment propaganda for a war of prevention against Iran because they're such a threat to the Jews. The gas prices have started back up, and the Democan Congress has seen fit, looking towards the 2008 elections, to finally pull a faltering halt to the American behemoth's floundering expedition to put down foreign national patriotic terrorists fighting for their own self-determination in their own countries against the international Jewish behemoth in the guise of American imperialism. And with this has been a growing chorus of so-called pundits of the tea kettle, neoconservative talk heads such as Neil the Kosher Borsch, or Bortz, B-O-R-T-Z, Michael the Savage Savage of Savage Nation, who is really named Michael Wiener, who pretending to be more red, white, and blue than you or I, using lightly veiled skinhead overtures, openly preaches war by the unrelieved, pent-up, frustrated white male, skinhead or otherwise, against the Muslim population in this nation, let alone the illegal immigrant wave inundating this nation. Likewise, we hear slight ever more rumblings of the Rush, or kosher, limp burger, Rush Limbaugh, against the same enemies, but a note, they are always advocating on behalf of the poor, defenseless Judah and their armies they evidently believe will be marching to their tune in a red, white, and blue orgasm of rebellion. None other than those same individuals of the Vinland Social Club, which they wear proudly on their chest, and the evangelical miscreants of the Christian Identity Independence Council of Christian Identities, both led by Jews from behind the scenes, and all for a united one voice, one nation, red, white, and blue, ruled by the Jews under the mantle of so-called Christian patriotism. And I tell you, if you let these neocon tea kettle talkheads lead you into a revolutionary configuration in which the Jews are somehow miraculously saved and only the minorities are subjects of spontaneous attacks, as Michael Savage, otherwise known as Savage Nation on national radio, advocated on a recent show, then you will have fulfilled the Jewish dream. He will be unblemished, and you will have fallen into a Pilsudski regime of Jewish fascist imperialism with a mortgage of mainstream evangelical Christian Jew worshiper hypocrisy, Soviet gulag style, and you will be the fall guys and those who are exterminated. Almost 2 years later now, you tell me who lied, who was right, and who was wronged. The Jews are the curse of mankind, quoted Julius Streicher. And we are getting close to the end, I think. Let's see here. For Family, Race, and Nation, Heil Hitler, C.D. Harrington, Chairman of the National Socialist Movement. My loyalty is my honor. Let's see here what the rest of this. Okay. The Vaunted White Knights and Their String Pullers. Not quite to the end yet. As was previously addressed in my summary of the past 2 years in my response to the bombing attempt of the 30th of June 2006, interestingly, the date in which the Ernst Röhm crowd and foreign intriguers were rounded up and dealt with occurred dates, I might add, which the Jews have been want to utilize as sort of a metaphysical get-back or revenge in their Kabbalistic sacrifices to kill myself and Mrs. Harrington, head of the Joy of Satan, for reasons which are obvious, not only from the Jewish behemoth's point of view, but internally from the point of view of the ostrich-headed Christian identity and the Ecclesiastical Council of Christian Identity, headed by half-Jewish son of Chicago, a half-Jewish son of Chicago rabbi, and their controllers, let alone those control led by Council of 28, such as the Vinland socializers. I must address and clarify, pun intended, the relationship which makes this conspiracy even more hideous and dangerous to the entire National Patriot Movement, inclusive particularly to the National Socialist Movement. Johnny Lee Clary, erstwhile the last outlaw, erstwhile Johnny Reb, erstwhile the last rebel, I have known from years back when he was just a young, short, midget dwarf working as a house siding salesman, who even then was known for his failed attempts to become a leader in the right wing, and that's spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. This guy was a drunk then and is still a drunk. He had an ability, though, to talk the socks off of old women, fleece them of their retirement funds through inflated sale prices, and purportedly giving them a super discount, and at the same time a known womanizer of the most despicable kind, who for the same super discount not only sold siding at inflated prices to young married women, but also screwed them literally. I recognize this ability to talk and relate to certain categories of society, noting his relationships with Don Black of Stormfront, David Duke of previous fame, Thomas Metzger, whom I met in Arlington, Virginia, back in 1974-75, when he dragged his young family out there and had her follow him around when he was trying to show me up, as I was the staff security and local group leader of the old NSWPP, otherwise known as the ANP, then headed by Matt Matthias Cole. Let me clear my throat. Okay, I saw it then and I know it to this day. This guy was no good and is no good and has been compromised for some time. His Portland, Oregon, Southern Poverty Law Center lawsuit against him in particular, in which he gets to keep only $1 for every five and hand over the mailing list to his controllers. Now, if that isn't compromised, I don't know what is. I recruited him, Clary, into the then known as American Workers' Party, National Socialist Movement, as a local organizer. I tested his mettle by going on a few propaganda runs with him, a poster campaign in Tulsa, and organizing a Veterans Awake meeting in a backwater Oklahoma town to which veterans in particular were invited. I myself posted these signs at stores, many of which were receptive to the idea. I then learned later, after inquiring of several, a security precaution and intelligence operation to see what has become of the flyers. The store owner said a short, bald or semi-bald, bleach blonde individual had come back and told them the flyers were from the Nazi party and removed them. Upon further grilling, these store owners identified Johnny Lee Clary as the individual. Well, 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 I continued on and pretended not to know anything as I wanted to complete the meeting. Well, besides being very angry and now knowing his setup, I went to the meeting. Johnny spoke, and trying to smooth them, as is typical of this type of riffraff, and others who think, just like Rockwell warned, you can tell them by their breath, entice them by running around the roseberry bush. I then spoke, and as Clary said, I had them in my hand. According to him, I should have signed them up and then gently led them into what we were all about. But I maintain, if they run it first with or danger or gunpowder, you can't trust them. At which point I announced, We were, in fact, the National Socialist Movement. Needless to say, only one individual stayed, and then another contacted me later, unbeknownst to Clary, and joined. I continued without suspicion to utilize Clary's abilities, and over a period of time, getting more and more information. It was obvious he was trying to gain info, become a big man, and gain entry to internal information, for which he should obviously not be allowed, like membership names and other information. I told him he would have to gain members by his own initiative and actions. Obviously, his endeavors amounted to nil to nothing. Knowing this heathen invited me to his home and met his girlfriend, to which I responded to gather more information and was shocked by his obvious materialistic outlook and braggartly attitude. I did socialize with him on one occasion, but always having been averse to cowboy joints and bars in particular, I succumbed and joined him on one excursion. I have never trusted individuals who have had less than admirable character than have to drink to sustain their sense of worth or manly or womanly fortitude. And yes, of course, we were joined by two individuals. Evidently, it turns out, one was his sister. Needless to say, having more control than the average individual, based on information previously gathered and unwilling to compromise my character, personality, and honor, I did indeed, in retort to statements put these two individuals in their place. Without further ado, I parted company, never to see these characters again. And one statement in particular, which came as a shock, bragging about how his good Jewish friend was his employer. This is one reason why white patriots frequently fail. Everybody has to have their good, quote unquote, nigger. The parts were fitting together, but as a further test of this individual, I went over a plan to obtain resources. Some of the suggestions he had made to me blatantly were of the most illegal nature, methods which he has similarly attributed to me, but based on the information I had gathered, were intended to shut me down, as I had been operational in Oklahoma for over six years and was reaching more and more people through five publications, radio interviews, and a white power message system which was running day and night. And remembering that, my friend, Comrade Robert F. Brannon, had trained me well and warned me to listen to Rockwell and pay attention to my sixth sense, and knowing how they failed to gain control of or stymie the NSM in the 1979 conspiracy involving Matt Cole, George P. Dietz, Gerhard Lauck, and indirectly Tom Metzger, who was an acolyte of Matt Cole and had returned to San Diego purportedly to try his mettle, which I might add were minor and insignificant as an open National Socialist. He was even reported to have said, "National Socialism won't work here. We have to be secret. More Jewish bullshit." At any rate, I told Clary, one method would be to work for the enemy, ostensibly, and at the same time, funnel resources to the right wing. I had the NSM in particular in mind. Years later, I lost contact with this smut, who reportedly had founded, along with the above-named individuals, the so-called White Knights of Oklahoma, the KKK of Oklahoma, whose general members and those of other historical clans I have nothing but praise for, as they are totally unawares of the mechanizations of their purported leaders, whose above leaders preach the hide in the woods, educate the people, and leaderless resistance mentality, but praise the offing of innocuous minority non-entities and turning in their own skinhead comrades. Timothy Bishop became associated with them, and through this contact, a direct associate of Metzger, Mahon, and others, he openly told me how Clary, although running the talk show circuit for the Jews at white Christian churches and denouncing white renegades, Nazis in particular, and racist bigots, was at the same time turning in skinheads of the Nazi persuasion who bragged rather indiscreetly of their actions against his beloved minorities to the authorities, of course, This was done to keep his skin clean and working both sides, as a selfish, materialistic egoist would do. Let me light this cigarette. Bragging to me years later on an unwanted telephone call how he was provided limousines, all the beer he could drink, and women, young, pretty white women, who had no clue what he or his controllers were all about. Needless to say, the NSM never saw any of these monies. Not that I would have accepted them once I heard these words, but I would wager that Metzger and others did, not excluding Timothy Bishop. Mr. Bishop informed me he had become associated with Clary during the late 80s and was organizing for him in Kansas. Met Mahon and Metzger of the leaderless resistance crowd. I would have no issue with this particular form of underground activity if their efforts were more in line with the successes of our German and Irish ancestors vis-a-vis oppressors, and then after the Metzger debacle in Portland had parted company and at the same time became associated as chief of staff with Richard Butler Aryan Nations in the early 90s. There are stories and rumors about that interlude, and I personally find enticing is the fact that he just left before the collapse of Aryan Nations, returned to Kansas, and became associated with Clary again, telling me personally he was a close associate of the same. Once it was obvious that Butler was on the way out, and sufficient information had been gathered internally, as many people had complained that no one could see Butler due to a certain chief of staff that was filtering everybody, and the Italian millionaire who had hoodwinked into supplying funds and support for a non-existent, at least in this lifetime, White People's Republic of the Northwest, and to which unwitting individuals were further being hoodwinked into losing their funds via a Jewish-operated and real estate scheme headed by another individual named Harold the Shyster Covington. Indeed, I wonder where all of these funds were going to. Bishop moved away back to Kansas. Are we there yet, Dorothy? Only in the past 4 years became associated with the NSM, as his saving grace being he purportedly saved the commander's life at the Hayden Lake compound. That's in Idaho, by the way. When the commander was attacked by two anti-Nazi identity skinheads who were luckily run off by Bishop, who just happened upon the scene of the attack at the lakeshore edge after the commander had been beaten, and run them off with a kick to the pants and excluded from the compound, ergo his great relationship to the commander. Okay. We are getting near the end of this, but not quite there yet. Subsequent to all of this, Mr. Memorabilia Collector Bischoff's jumped ship and is now ostensibly modeling his award-winning models and collecting his vintage NS memorabilia, which he was peddling by way of Gerhard Lauck of the NSDAP-AO. The overall picture is this. Numerous individuals, most tainted by establishment charges and feeding information the same, were involved in the overall conspiracy against the National Socialist Movement, specifically and ancillary to the events, for their own selfish, egotistical reasons, and sought by every means possible to destroy the National Socialist Movement since its founding, ergo their 30-year war against the NSM. For if you are not tainted, if you will not sell out, if you will not compromise, you will be slandered, defamed, attacked physically and verbally, but for what does it matter? It is a small thing. Many are well-known names, previously indicated. Most are leaderless resistance types, and most egotistical, compromised monomaniacs who, for one reason or another, just won't be part of the solution, but prefer to continue to stab their fellow white brethren in the back, and are all in one way or the other in the spider web of the internationalist Jewish Octopus. I have, am, and will continue to support the NSM uniform divisions, and come hell or high water, these nefarious individuals will suffer the consequences of their actions. Be warned. Friends, neighbors, well-intentioned readers, America faces a crossroads. This is no game. Dozens, hundreds, and thousands, and more of good people have been defamed, slandered, jailed, and sacrificed on the pyre of Jewish world imperialism, and those who are minions, facilitators, and executors of this world plague must be made to suffer for their betrayals and treason in return for their materialistic shekels. For what does it gain a man to gain the world but lose his soul? For history turns, and National Socialism, irregardless of those imbeciles, will win, I promise you. Okay. Let me scroll down a little further here, a postmortem. The ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center website, which regurgitated Bill Willie White's slanders and expurgations against myself and Mrs. Harrington, have been removed due to planted information I told Wise or severally toned down, and continuing to give a false picture of him as a Jewish enemy instead of a tool. This is a classic Jewish reverse psyop. Billy Willie Wise, or White, is being paraded as a reconditioned ersatz Nazi, now sporting green swastikas to appeal to the well-intentioned social national greens, and has toned down his rhetorical imaginings after the chairman, NSM, and others have exposed his Jewish habling background and operative status as a mudslinger for the communist organs Pravda and Daily Worker, in his criminal background on Wikipedia, in a planted article which he claims takes up for the NSM by a Jew, no less, and details the conspiracy against the chairman, yours truly, Mr. Harrington, and in this fashion attempts in a black op types COINTEL news campaign to blunt the exposés of White and their multifold conspiracy, which has failed, but who is continuing to act as a provocateur in trying to break up the NSM through various means, hanging on to their public events media coverage coattails, taking credit for things which he had nothing to do with, concocting stories and lies spread by innuendo, unknowing individuals, and subverting individuals who don't know the whole story but will believe a Jew to their detriment, and the NSM and will continue to march forward regardless of such. Hal Turner Turnstile has swapped sides in his religious imaginings as a found Catholic Christian identity style and a new pastor who is spreading his violent rhetoric and is still anti-Nazi, but purportedly handled the permits for D.C. for the NSM, however. I have my doubts, as no photos are shown nor him speaking. Watch out for this guy. He is poison to any sincere white patriot. Now, he's in jail now, isn't he? And is sponsored by the White Knights, above reference, an enemy of white. Now, unless his pocketbook starts screaming again, and evidently is still fulfilling his task as a facilitator of misinformation for the enemies of the white race. Taylor Bowles, ex-presidential candidate of the NSM, is now or was sponsored by Bill Willie White, and evidently in conjunction with Mr. Chapel, have absconded with the SC headquarters, by which default fell to them after the ultimately and very suspicious murder by car accident of comrade Wild Bill Hoff of old ANP fame, within literally hours of his being named the vice presidential candidate of the NSM. Rumor has it they intend to sell to a black Christian syndicate as a major landmark and turn into a multicultural appreciation center. Gag. Another group of white renegades. Johnny Lee, the last rebel evangelist, is still spouting his fulminations about the wonders of multiracial physical relations and lolling in the materialistic world of possessions, literally in funneling monies to the white knights. Timmy Collector Bischoff's evidently is lying low. The National Socialist movement is still marching forward and growing, and we will not compromise or stop. Others will not be named. or I hope in the deepest recess of their hearts they discover, with no blame place, to realize their error and make their amends and rejoin the truthful, honest, and sincere struggle of the right in the National Socialist Movement. Our uniform is the color of our skin. That ends that, and that was by Clifford Harrington, husband of High Priestess Maxine Dietrich at The Joy of Satan. Okay, that ends that article, and I'm going to play a song and come right back. Let me get over to the studio here. I got to scroll. It's way on the other side of all my tabs. Okay, studio, come up. All right, how about this song? I'm kind of in an AC/DC mood tonight. Okay, I've got something else I want to read here before I get into the Texas flag thing. It's not real long. It was an email exchange here. Since David Duke is notorious for pushing Christianity, he is also bought and paid for by the enemy. Some of his videos and writings do have truths in them, but the Christian lies are embedded to confuse people. The most formidable and grave threat to National Socialism and related patriot organizations is Christianity, and the Jews know this. Christianity and its twin of communism are like the queen on the chessboard for the Jews, and they will work in any way to try to protect these two from being exposed for exactly what they are. Both Christianity and communism pretend to be enemies of the Jews, while in reality nothing is further from the truth. And by the way, I'm going to interject something here. You go around and start talking anti-communist and putting down communism, you'll find out just real fast who's on what side, put it that way. Okay, I've been there, done that. And some people came knocking at my door. So I'm not going to get any more specific than that, all right? Unknowing people have fallen for this scam for a very long time. The Jews are extremely clever and deceptive and know how to play the Gentiles. Both communism and Christianity will put on shows in persecuting Jews, but these are just for show. And given the self-centered, parasitical nature of the Jewish character, they do not care how many of their own they have to sacrifice to obtain their goal of world enslavement and domination. You have to see through this, and when you can see through all of this, everything becomes clear. A good example is after the end of World War II. Joseph Stalin enforced an anti-Semitic campaign and purged a number of Jews. The Jews are always publicizing this, especially if you read about Russian history and communism. This, in truth, was because Adolf Hitler exposed communism for what it really was, a Jewish program. So Joseph Stalin and his cohorts put on a show for the world, trying to fool the unsuspecting and ignorant populaces into believing Jews were persecuted under communism. Joseph Stalin himself was a Jew, his real name being Joseph Dugasvili, meaning son of a Jew in Georgian. I'm getting better at saying that name. I guess you just got to keep saying it over and over again. Because of Christianity, our astral senses have been blinded, especially those of the average person. The Jews are communists at the soul. They gravitate towards communism, as this is a part of their soul, and will even subconsciously work to advance communism in anything that promotes their agenda, such as Christianity. Unfortunately, most people cannot see this and become confused, especially when viewing videos and reading the writings of traitors such as David Duckwitz and others who work for the enemy in promoting the Christian lies. This is why race is so important. Race goes beyond physical appearances and is at the soul. What this does, this Christianity, is it creates the necessary psychic and subliminal connections for the Jews to work their magic, control, and manipulate. The Third Reich rose rapidly because most of the top people were Satanists. They knew the truth and ridded their movement of Christianity and its influences. The enemy knows this and will do anything and everything to embed, promote, and advance Christianity from the inside of any Gentile organization, as this is how they obtain and maintain control and eventually destroy from within. While there are a few people who are truly deluded and believe the Christian lies, the leaders such as David Duckwitz and related scum know the truth. But along with greed and also being a part Jew himself, they continue to gain publicity and rake in funds by serving Jewish masters. And there was a couple of replies to it. And the first one here said, I was studying the National Alliance, which was the most advanced National Socialist organization in America. Dr. Pierce got his start under Rockwell. The National Alliance Handbook The National Alliance Handbook had a chapter that educated its members about the truth of Christianity being an enemy of our race and antithetical to National Socialism. And after Dr. Pierce died, Eric Glebe took over, and from long-term member statements, purposely ran the organization into the ground and pillaged the funds for himself. This character removed the chapters Pierce put in to warn about Christianity from the members' handbook, thus openly changed the National Alliance's policy to a pro-Christian one. On the other side, Metzger pushes materialistic atheism of the communist variety. Dr. Pierce openly referred to him as that Bolshevik, while preaching against National Socialism as much as possible. and filming strange documentaries for the BBC, where him, his obviously Jewish agent, former lawyer, and the Jewish BBC interviewer go down to Mexico to get shit-faced on tequila and make asses of themselves, and his general agent provocateur behaviors. In the mainstream white nationalist trend, there is, of late, a major push towards Christianity. All the major people are almost, if not openly, running a Christian evangelical ministries under the banner of race, one with a New Age slant. There was one more response to that. Actually, there was two. They're both short. This response is very interesting. It is also a very sad fact that Metzger has some Fred Phelps-style Christian values on his website. I understand making jokes about the facts of certain races for humor, but with something that is only a person's own business. Yes, that reeks of the Soviet Union. One more, real short. It was Metzger's people and son that made the talk show rounds back in the 80s and did everything to behave like ADL propaganda. The Jews always put their own on TV. Okay, now, let me scroll my tabs a little bit here. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to cover the Texas flag issue. A couple of assholes made some remarks about the Texas flag. And, of course, everybody is entitled to their opinions. Now, I did this, what I'm fixing to read here, I did this piece in my Texas show, but I know not everybody is going to listen to that Texas show. So I'm gonna do a repeat performance on this. And this is real short. It's not going to take very long, about another 5 to 10 minutes. Let me clear my throat here. Now, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but there was a motivation behind this, and I'll get into that later. And it was not just simply for the sake of making fun of the Texas flag. And those two individuals know this. And I will make that abundantly clear, trust me. Now, I'm at Wikipedia, which, of course, we all know we can't fully trust, but there's no real reason for them to lie about something like this, okay? And I'm at what's called the North American Vexillological Association on Wikipedia. It says, the North American Vexillological Association, or the NAVA, is an American and Canadian membership organization devoted to vexillology, the scientific and scholarly study of flags. It was founded in 1967 by American vexillologist Whitney Smith and others. The association publishes Raven, a publication, a journal of vexillology, an annual peer-reviewed journal, the Flag Research Quarterly, for vexillological topics, an interdisciplinary discussion, and NAVA News, a quarterly newsletter. The association is a charter member of the International Federation of Vexillological Associations and is among the largest vexillological organizations. Finally, I can get rid of that tab. Okay, now, again, if you heard this, just, you know, go get a beer, go get a Coke, get yourself a glass of water, whatever, go to the bathroom, and come back in just a few minutes because I'm not done. But, and of course, why is this important? Well, as a Texan, it's very important, but you see, it was used to goad me, and I'll get to that. So anyway, I am at the North American Vexillological Association, their website, under a section called 2001 State/Provincial Flag Survey. In 2001, the North American Vexillological Association conducted a poll on its website, asking its members and the public their opinions of flag designs in the U.S. and Canada. Responses came in from 100 NAVA members and over 300 members of the public in 20 countries. Participants rated 72 flags on their design qualities rather than on political, historical, or geographical considerations. On a scale of 0 to 10, where 10 was the best score, they were asked to rely on their personal sense of good flag design in rating the flags, which appeared on the webpage. They cast well over 29,000 individual votes. Now, let me say something here. These flags are all the 50 states and any U.S. territories, as well as the Canadian provinces and their territories. There were no city flags or no national flags in any of these designs considered. I got to clear my throat again. Hold on. So, anyway, it says association members favored strong, simple, distinctive flags, choosing New Mexico, Texas, and Quebec in first, second, and third place, all with scores above 8. They scorned the seal on a bedsheet design common to more than half of U.S. state flags, forcefully relegating those flags to the bottom of the heap with scores averaging less than 4. Now, what I'm going to read comes from this website. I'm not making this up. You can go there yourself. One flag drew more attention than all others did. NAVA members and the public both gave the new Georgia flag the lowest score, a 2.4 points, by the largest margin of any flag. Some even asked to give it negative points. They disparaged Georgia's flag as a scalawag, desolating, and simply awful, hideous, and by far the ugliest. Its complex design violates all the principles of good flag design, incorporating a seal, lettering, and a series of miniature historical flags in incorrect order. One person derided it as five flags under Georgia. Canadian flags fared significantly better than U.S. flags, with an average score of 6 points versus 5. Canada's provincial flags generally avoided seals and turned towards more simple designs. The state seal on a blue background design of so many U.S. state flags dates back to the 19th century adoption of regimental flags to represent the states. They are relatively indistinguishable from each other at any distance, except perhaps Oregon's flag, which is the only one to have a different design on the back. Now, they showed the 10 best flags and the 10 worst flags. And the 10 best flags were, number 1, New Mexico. Number 2, Texas. Number 3, Quebec. Number 4, Maryland. Number 5, Alaska. Number 6, Arizona. Number 7, Puerto Rico. Number 8, District of Columbia. Number 9, the Marshall Islands. And number 10, South Carolina. Now, I'm not going to give you all of the worst ones, but there are two in particular that I'm going to name. And, of course, obviously, at the very bottom of the heap, number 72, is Georgia. And let me scroll up a little bit. And we get to number 65, and that is Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Okay. So, now, I think these people know what they're talking about, contrary to a couple of assholes and their personal opinions. So, now, I can finally get rid of this tab. So, what I'm going to do now here is I'm going to cover the Don't Mess with Texas issue. And I am at Wikipedia. This is listed under Don't Mess with Texas. So I'm going to light a cigarette first in honor of me reading this, all right? The phrase, "Don't Mess with Texas," is a trademark of the Texas Department of Transportation, which began as part of a statewide advertising campaign started in 1986. The intention behind the Don't Mess with Texas campaign was to reduce littering on Texas roadways and has garnered statewide attention. The phrase, "Don't Mess with Texas," was prominently shown on road signs on major highways, television, radio, and in-print advertisements. The campaign is credited with reducing litter on Texas highways roughly 72% between 1986 and 1990. That's a lot of litter. The campaign's target market was 18 to 35-year-old males, which was statistically shown to be the most likely to litter. While the slogan was originally not intended to become a statewide cultural icon, it did. Beyond its immediate role in reducing litter, the slogan became a Texas cultural phenomenon, and the slogan has been popularly appropriated by Texans. Though the origin of the slogan is not well known outside of Texas, it appears on countless items of tourist souvenirs. The phrase is actually a federally registered trademark. The department has tried at times to enforce its trademark rights with cease and desist letters, but has had very limited success. The phrase, "Don't mess with Texas," is a frequently cited example of pride in Texas culture. "Don't mess with Texas" has been awarded a plaque on the Madison Avenue Walk of Fame and a place in the Advertising Hall of Fame, a distinction given to only two slogans annually. "Don't mess with Texas" is also the official motto of the Virginia-class submarine USS Texas. Now, a little history. In 1985, the Texas Department of Transportation, known as TxDOT, the acronym TxDOT, asked Mike Blair and Tim McClure of GSD&M to create a slogan for an anti-littering campaign. At the time, the state of Texas spent about $20 million annually to clean litter from highways. McClure said that Bubba's and pickup trucks, who regularly littered beer cans and other items out of vehicle windows, and ordinary Texans who believed that littering was a God-given right, were targets of the advertising campaign. McClure said that he created the slogan when he saw the garbage while walking near his house. Emanuela Grinberg of CNN said that McClure had an 11th hour aha moment when, after looking at the trash, he recalled his mother telling him that his room was messy. McClure said, "It occurred to me that the only time I'd heard the word litter was in reference to dogs. Mess seemed like it would resonate better." The creators initially had difficulty convincing TxDOT to adopt the slogan. The creators said that the administrators were buzz-cutted, conservative kind of characters. The creators joked that the board members' average age was 107. McClure recalled that the crowd was sprinkled with "Keep America Beautiful" and "Keep Texas Beautiful" folks, and our audience is 18 to 24 young males. McClure added that the "Keep Texas Beautiful" lady said, "Can we at least say please?" I said, "No, ma'am. You cannot use the line if you put please in front of it." The campaign began in 1985 with a series of bumper stickers. In 1986, the slogan premiered its first television advertisement featuring Stevie Ray Vaughan at the 50th annual Cotton Bowl Classic on January 1st, 1986, singing "The Eyes of Texas" with the line "Don't mess with Texas" added at the end of the song. Since then, numerous musicians, athletes, celebrities, and other famous Texans have appeared in "Don't mess with Texas" radio and television public service announcements, including Lance Armstrong, "Asleep at the Wheel," Erica Badu, Marshall Ball, who is a Texas musician, Joe King Carrasco, Johnny D and the Rocket 88s, Joe Ely, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, George Foreman, Tish Hinosa, Los Lonely Boys, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Lyle Lovett, Bill Mays, Matthew McConaughey, Warren Moon, Willie Nelson, Andy Pettit, Leanne Rimes, Shamu and the Texas Tuxedos, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jerry Jeff Walker, and by the way, Jerry Jeff Walker, I believe, was originally from New York, George Strait, Tiffany Blackgrove, Owen Wilson, and Chuck Norris. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this tab, finally, and I'm going to go back to the studio here, and I'm going to take just a second to let me scroll down Oops, I went too far. Okay, come on, get back. All right, this one is the studio. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to scroll down, and I'm going to play the Stevie Ray Vaughan commercial, which was the first one that was on television for this particular ad campaign. And it's real short. Here it is right here, 29 seconds.
Each year we spend over $20 million picking up trash along our Texas highways. Messing with Texas isn't just an insult to the Lone Star State, it's a crime.
Don't mess with Texas.
Okay, there you have it. Now, I'm going to play one more song, and then I'm going to probably have a few comments, and then I will close out the show. So here is some more AC/DC.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Now, what I wanted to do here is I wanted to make some very interesting points in with doing these two shows I've done. I thought maybe I could get it all in one, but that was probably a little ambitious, but nevertheless, mission accomplished. And I even went into the first couple of things I was going to do had I just done one main show. So, again, the part one of this and this part, part two, is a prerequisite for the other show. And I will make a comment at the end of that show in referencing these so people will be sure to go back and hear them. And I've got like, let's just say I got a lot of notes that I got to organize. I'm not sure when exactly I'll do the show because I want to make sure I do it right, and hopefully it'll be the only one I will have to do. And it's actually disgusting that I even have to do it. You know, my thoughts were is that, you didn't have to make necessarily an enemy of me, but, you know, apparently he thought it would be the thing to do for whatever reason. You know, you'll understand, people will understand more when I cover everything. And, you know, it's all you had to do was just show a little class about it. You know, the way Sieg handled it on his show was the first show after I left. And he was very professional. You know, hey, kudos to Sieg. You know, that's the way it should have been handled. And from here on out at this point, when I refer to Renegade, I'm mainly talking about Kyle and Mike. And I originally was only going to mention just a couple of things about Dana. None of them, you know, like, hey, he's a great guy or anything, but, you know, there's some good things I was going to say. And but, you know, since I've left, there's a couple of things I want to say that are not bad. But, you know, it's I just kind of want to make a point. And honestly, I really don't have anything against Dana. And I really didn't want to have anything against Kyle and Mike to begin with. But I really feel that I didn't have a choice to leave. And I only hung around long enough once things started getting weird to accomplish certain goals. These goals will be clear whenever I do my next show. So I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to go ahead and close out the show, even though it's not quite 2 hours. And I'll end with my usual, and I will play another song. So again, what happens if we don't prevail over these tyrants? Well, listen to my show that I did on what happened in the Bolshevik Revolution. So some final thoughts. Truth does not fear investigation. Belief is when someone else does the thinking. The truth is hate, only to those who hate the truth. A noble society is not ruled by might, but by law. Preserving your culture isn't hate. It's about survival. You do not have the right to never be offended. The fact that they want our guns is all the more reason to have them. There are no illegal guns, only illegal gun laws. Anti-gun is anti-white. Anti-Semitism is a disease. You catch it from Jews. Free men aren't equal, and equal men aren't free. Distinct peoples have a right to remain distinct. Multiracialism is not self-government. Forced association isn't freedom. If you worship your enemy, you are defeated. If you adopt your enemy's religion, you are enslaved. If you breed with your enemy, you are destroyed. Ridicule is the only weapon which can be used against unintelligible propositions. There is no higher religion than truth. Religion leads to racial death. Racial death is forever. 1488. So until next time, hail Satan. And I will go out with a song. I thought I had it here. I think I may have scrolled too far. Real easy to do when you got a lot of stuff on here. So until next time, and next time may be either a show on Texas or a show on the paranormal or some other topic. Again, I'm not sure when I will do the reply to Renegade, a.k.a. the Bill Rice Network. So we'll see you then.
Warm winds blowing, heat and blue sky, and a road that goes forever. Been thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day. Someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas. She says, what? I said, Texas. She says, what? They got big long roads out there. Warm winds blowing, heat and blue sky. Watch me walking.
Teller.
Satan! Satan! Satan!